Mr. Brian DeRath. He's the principal of Explorer Elementary School in Williamston, and Brian's on the other end of our line. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm calling as much as a journalist as I am a parent because I received some information about how the school is handling head lice, and I didn't agree with it. I still don't. I have done a little bit of homework. I've had the Ingham County Health Department comment on how children with head lice should be handled, and they recommend that the person is sent home, get treatment, and then they can return back to school. I just got off the phone just about 15 minutes ago with a state of Michigan physician who told me the same things you told me yesterday, that the student the student could remain in the classroom and as long as there's no head-to-head contact, there is no danger. Now, I know, I guess just for the sake of catching our audience up, tell us what the Explore Elementary School rules and regulations are regarding children who are found to have head lice.
Well, essentially what we're doing, Tony, is following the head lice, the Michigan School Head Lice Prevention and Control Policy, and the recommendations from the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Department of Education basically share with us that, you know, any student with live lice may remain in school until the end of the school day. Immediate treatment at home is advised. The student will be readmitted to school after treatment and examination. And if upon examination the school designated personnel finds no live lice on the child may re-enter. Any student with nits farther than a quarter inch from the scalp should be allowed in school. And the premise behind that is that if they're more than a quarter inch out, that they have hatched or are not viable because that amount of hair has grown. Parents should remove, obviously, nits and lice daily, live ones. And one of the things they talked about in the procedures, you know, the child should be restricted from activities that include hugging or, you know, sharing hats, different pieces like that. But, you know, it does say in bold letters within the policy and procedure recommendations that immediate removal of the child is unnecessary. And the belief is, from reading through their pieces, that there's no medical, piece that causes danger to others. The biggest thing that causes danger to others is the emotional reaction that people have to lice, It is one of those things that gets people's fire up, and in terms of talking with a lot of different principals in a lot of different area schools, it is a major issue in a majority of the area schools right now.
All right, let's say one of my boys is found to have head lice. So what happens after that? Are parents of other students notified?
Notified. They're notified that a student has been found with lice in their classroom, and procedures that they should do with their child. And one of the main things that really, you know, the policy and procedural manner talks about from the state is the importance of parents doing head lice checks on their children, and, you know, shifting the responsibility from the school to the parent, because the parent does, you know, is with the student every night and does have an opportunity to be able to sit and say, you know, I want to hold you out at school. One of the big issues is that people, have found out that their child has had lice. The stigmatism that comes along with it kind of takes away their comfort level in reporting that to the school. So we do get students in school who there is no report on, there is no support of, and you know, we can hypothesize, we can emotionalize all we want, but we need to make sure that first and foremost we protect the safety and dignity of all kids.
Okay, but my argument to that is, here's one kid, and if you can find a way to get that kid home in a dignified and in a way that doesn't hurt anyone, wouldn't that be better for the majority of kids who don't have head lice? Because we're protecting the one and putting in jeopardy the many.
Well, and I think that there's a couple things you need to look at. You know, what is the many and what is the jeopardy? To me, the people who have made the recommendations to the state of Michigan were the American Academy of Pediatricians and the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. They have a heck of a lot more knowledge than I do. And as I shared with a parent yesterday, from an emotional standpoint, I get it. I do understand, you know, people's concerns, people's frustrations, but where I have to operate off of as a principal is that, you know, the professionals at two pretty reputable places, pediatricians and the Center for Disease Control, are saying that's really not a good way to deal with it. And the emotional safety that, you know, I don't know if you remember as a kid, but, you know, if one of the students got sent home with lice or was found to have lice, the teasing, the bullying, the stuff, you know, the kid having to come back to school, the shaved head, those cause long-term damages.
Okay, Brian, how is that any different if kids in the classroom know that Johnny sitting in the front row there has head lice and they're supposed to stay away from him? I mean, the word gets around. Can't that be humiliating and damaging also?
I suppose it could. I you know, that I don't know. I know that there's an emotional component to it, but there's also the professional recommendation. And I can hang my hat on a professional recommendation. It would be the same as trying to argue with a parent who doesn't want their child to be sent home, who would call me up and say, well, the Center for Disease Control and the American Academy of Pediatricians says that's not best practice. So why are you following non-best practice? And I wouldn't have an answer.
Okay, well,
I wouldn't have an answer because, again, emotional arguments, while I understand them, I can't live in them.